My argument is that during these boom financial years for the states, we are understanding the importance of investing in infrastructure throughout the state, but where are we investing in the labor that we ask to build our infrastructure?
Welcome to the 412-411. My name is George Colombo, and I'm your host for the latest edition of the new podcast from UA Local 412. If you're a plumber, a pipe fitter, a welder, or an HVACR service technician in New Mexico or the El Paso area, or you're thinking about becoming one, you've found the right place for all the terrific news about what's going on at UA Local 412. Say, have you ever wondered how to turn $2 million into $30 million? Well, believe it or not, that's just one of the things you're going to hear about today. The New Mexico legislative session just wrapped up, and it was a busy one. Join me now for a conversation with Local 412's own Joan Baker, along with Representative Kathleen Cates, about the 2024 legislative session that just wrapped up in Santa Fe. We're going to look today at what just happened up in Santa Fe in the recently completed legislative session. It was quite a month up there. We're talking to a couple of people who are in a great position to be able to explain everything. One is somebody who I know you're very familiar with, and that is our own Joan Baker. But we are joined today by Representative Kathleen Cates, who represents District 44 in the New Mexico State House of Representatives, and that is Bernalillo and Sandoval counties. And her fingerprints are on a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. So I'd like to welcome you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joan, why don't you set the stage for us? What is your overview of what happened?
Yeah, definitely. So it was a 30-day session, which is considered a budget session. And we had some very important pieces of legislation. One of them was House Bill 5, and that was to create a trust fund for registered apprenticeships. And Representative Cates was a co-sponsor on that bill. And her and I can kind of get a little bit into how that actually even started with her and myself last year. And then we had House Bill 291 that goes back to that rainwater catchment that we had spoken about, and Representative Cates co-sponsored that one as well.
So those two subjects, the apprenticeship funding and the rainwater catchment, happen to be subjects that we have covered here before on the 412-411. So Representative Cates, what did this session look like to you, just in a general way, and then let's drill down to some of the more specifics?
Well, I say it was the best of times and the worst of times, mm-hmm. but the best of times is HB 5, which is the apprenticeship program. As Joan hinted, you know, in 2022, I was first elected for 2023, and for those of you who know, our budgets are usually set in October, so you're elected in November. There's no way you're allowed to carry an appropriations bill. But because we got new leadership in the House with a new speaker and new chair for appropriations, we decided to take the risk and carry an appropriations bill to up the funding in the Workforce Development Solutions, Workforce Solutions apprenticeship program. So this was a fool's errand, and so I gladly picked it up and ran with it. And they, the chair Small from the appropriations, was kind enough to give us like 4 minutes to present. Any other time, we wouldn't have been allowed to present something that won't be funded. And we presented. My argument is that during these boom financial years for the states, we are understanding the importance of investing in infrastructure throughout the state, but where are we investing in the labor that we ask to build our infrastructure?
Absolutely.
And that is where we fall short, and I want to make sure that we are fully funding. They had a very small apprenticeship program front, like half a million. We asked for slightly under 2 million, and we didn't get it. But because I was allowed to present, the cabinet secretary became interested, and we were able to start conversations with her, and then eventually the governor's office and Jones people picked up the ball and ran.
Because you had been able to set the table.
Yes.
Exactly. So this discussion had, as far as we know, had never happened. So there was $600,000 that was given to what's called the Apprenticeship Assistance Act. And it had been that way for 11 years, 12 years. And each year as apprenticeship grew, the funds didn't grow. So we kept seeing less and less reimbursement from the state. And when I identified this and went to Representative Cates, who's just been a champion for our causes and for apprenticeship, we did that bill the last legislative session. That set the table for us to come back and ask for a $30 million trust fund to be set up.
And I will say another great thing is that as these conversations continue, as you said, we did not get the almost 2 million requested of 2023. But before spring was over, the cabinet secretary said, I found an extra half million for July. And I found another half million for June. The enormous benefits to this apprenticeship program. They've been funding CTE programs, and they didn't understand that that is not a journeyman's path. It might be the beginning of a journeyman's path, but it's not a true apprenticeship program. And so being able to get everyone educated to the importance, why we're building all this infrastructure, to be able to make sure that we can develop New Mexico labor. We're not bringing in labor from out of state.
And tell me if I'm getting this correct, but I seem to remember in an earlier discussion about this that these benefits extend beyond the unions.
They do. They've expanded the definition. You can apply for an apprenticeship program to have Workforce Solutions oversee that. I know I've talked to agriculture because they feel that it is somewhat of a dying trade as well. And how can they create certain mechanics and certain apprenticeship programs through Workforce Solutions? But, you know, a barber can do apprenticeship if they want to.
It's a way of transferring knowledge down through generations.
Exactly. So the state of New Mexico, you file standards. You say, I want to be a registered apprenticeship program. You file standards. And one of the primary parts of it is that they have in-class learning and OJT, on-the-job training. So those two aspects are what come together and create registered apprenticeship. But it doesn't have to be union. All registered apprenticeships are.
Absolutely. And as is so often the case, the work that the unions are doing is yielding benefits to people who are not union members.
Absolutely. They inspire the rest. And we, and the whole idea of the apprenticeship program, you know, your apprenticeship may be 4 or 5 years, just as if somebody chose a higher education avenue, but you're not earning an income while you're getting educated. And that's the advantage of apprenticeship. So it is building our workforce. It's investing in New Mexico. And it's also stimulating our economy. Because they are constantly working while we're being able to move forward.
And could I add, not just building the workforce, but enhancing the workforce?
Yes, the skilled labor.
Absolutely.
As well.
Hey, Representative Cates, let me ask you this question. We have plenty of listeners who are not from Bernalillo or Sandoval, and may not be familiar with you, but it isn't any accident that you're very involved in these union initiatives.
Thank you. No, I mean, my background in the last 18 years has been in the nonprofit field, advocating for individuals with disabilities and veterans. But I, my father was in Local 189, a plumber and pipe fitters. He was the radical son. He was a pipe fitter where all his brothers and his father were plumbers. They joked and said they were their family tree had been plumbers back in the day of trough and gutter makers in Ireland. And so he went into the union when I was born. He was a cop. He wanted to be radical away from his family. But by the time I was a young child, he went into the union just like his siblings.
Outstanding. Well, now let's get back to what was happening up in Santa Fe. You had mentioned at the outset of our conversation that it was the best of times and the worst of times, and HB5 would certainly be the best of times. Tell us about the rest.
Well, certainly. I mean, we have a lot of work to do already. I mean, it's not even it's the last day of February we're taping this right now. And I have 5-6 bills I already have identified that I'm going to be moving forward if I'm elected for next session. I know that one of them we're working on was HB 291, which was the allow water reuse requirements and the rain catchment. And we feel that this is something that agriculture and urban, commercial, government buildings, this is going to fit a lot of goals for a lot of different people.
Exactly. So kind of with the same bit of craziness, I approached Representative Cates. Session had already begun. It's a 30-day session. I said, hey, I want to do rainwater catchment bill. Will you sign on? And she definitely did. A strong water advocate and advocate for making sure that workforce development are integrated into important projects, which was one of the things that this bill was going to do. And we had a little hang up with the bill drafter, and it took a while to actually get the bill out and introduced. It was introduced on the last day that you could introduce bills. And we got heard in our first committee within 48 hours.
Yes. So I serve on the Standing Water, Agricultural, and Acequia Committee, as well as the interim, that committee as well. And so we were able to hear that. And I think that it was a good way for us to start that conversation where we found other groups that, you know, agriculture moved forward and said, hey, this is something we're doing. We're very good at it. We'd like to know that. They also like to know, they like hearing ideas that are about water reuse, reclaim, in urban areas, because many times we try to save water, agriculture, since they're the biggest water users. And so I think that this is, we'll have a lot of stakeholders involved in this bill.
Yeah, so we ran out of time. We weren't able to get another hearing. We got rolled in the first committee because we needed to do some technical fixes with the state engineer. But it was exciting to start that conversation and to see how many people were really going to be excited about it. But when I was advocating for this bill and walking around the roundhouse and giving handouts, a representative said, well, you're a union. Why are you interested in water? And I said, well,
you're a human being.
Yeah. Like we want to conserve water. And she goes, but you're a union. And I said, okay, I'm the plumbers union and water runs through pipes. You know, like we are water.
There's not a single New Mexican who shouldn't be absolutely concerned about water and make that the highest priority. That is our greatest resource here in New Mexico that we need to make sure that we're protecting. I know that I'm going to be a keynote speaker on March 8th for the land and water use, which is an opportunity for engineers and environmentalists to sit down together. It's not a one perspective issue. It affects all of New Mexico, and we need to know ways we can save, reuse, repurpose, recapture, as you're doing of in this bill, water. Water is very important.
When I have heard it said in other contexts, but here in New Mexico, if we don't get water right, it doesn't matter what else we do get right. Because it's an issue of that level of significance.
I absolutely. I mean, there were several other water bills that I know that the 412 supported. That you might not have actually, you know, brought them to me, but you most certainly supported. And they're sitting either on the governor's desk or have already been signed. We have the HB 148, HB 177, and HB 211. These are opportunities. What I kept hearing in interim committees throughout the last summer was we have individuals who are in domestic water sheds or acequias societies. They are subject experts. They understand irrigation and water, but they don't necessarily have the skill set to write federal grants. Or don't know how to find an auditor to catch up auditors. These groups are usually volunteer. They need technical assistance. So these bills are going to help with matching funds so that they can access a federal grant if they have a matching fund, or technical assistance with grant writing, or getting them up to the criteria so that once they meet criteria, New Mexico Finance Authority can help fund those projects.
Yeah, and so we really supported HB 211, which Representative Cates was a sponsor on as well, because it prioritized water project funding, and whether or not it specified rainwater catchment, that is a water project. And so we said, you know, we fit right into that. We jumped on board. We supported that. We felt like that was really important. The HB 177, so everybody that's been listening to the podcast for a while knows I also write grants, and I write federal grants. And, you know, small municipalities, even as small as Valencia County, for sure, if you're talking Catron County and other places like that, having what they need to do a federal grant match fund. So say, for example, they asked for a grant of $15 million, but they have a 25% match requirement. They might not have that in their coffers. So with the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and the CHIPS Act, the smaller municipalities are not going to be able to access those federal funds without this match bill.
And there are a lot of projects out there with even smaller budgets than you just mentioned, where they just need $1.5 million, but they don't have $250,000 sitting around. They're a volunteer. They may have as little as 30 hookups. 30 to 150 hookups, you're not going to have much margins there for reinvestment. And those are essential in keeping those communities alive.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it was an eventful session, and I think, Representative, that your description of the best of times and the worst of times is probably appropriate here. I want to thank both of you for spending the time to tell everybody about what just happened. And Representative Cates, I want to thank you in particular for all the work you've done.
No, thank you. And know that, you know, I'm constantly learning. It's one of the reasons why I like this job, is because every day I get to learn something new. And so if your listeners do have an issue, maybe it's not necessarily related to the trades. It might be to healthcare benefits or accessibility for their children who might have a disability, or because I'm also on the Health and Human Services Committee as well. That I always welcome, you know, an email, a text message. You can always get a hold of me through Joan as well, because I can learn about something new.
Yeah, and I definitely have to say, you know, right after session, we are getting ready to segue into our endorsements because the election will be in November.
Right around the corner.
And
your vote counts.
Exactly. And we need advocates like Representative Cates, who just hit the ground running, doing everything she could for our members, for apprenticeship. And those are the relationships that we really need, and we need to keep moving forward to go from something like, well, we asked for a little less than $2 million and didn't get it the first year, but the next year we came back and we got a $30 million trust fund that became dedicated funding. That's what makes these things happen, is making sure that we are electing great people.
Outstanding. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it was quite a productive legislative session in New Mexico this year. I want to thank Representative Kathleen Cates for detailing all the great news about what happened in Santa Fe. Hey, don't forget, your general meeting is on March 8th at 7 p.m. at the Union Hall, and the Apprenticeship Council meeting same day at 5:30, also at the hall. And there's more news. There's going to be a steward training happening on March 9th. Spaces are limited, but if you're interested, you can call Bonnie to see if there are any openings still available. Hey, if you enjoy this podcast, tell your union brothers and sisters on the job site where they can find the 412-411 and how they can listen. Thanks again to Representative Kathleen Cates for sitting down with us today. And as always, huge thanks to Joan Baker. And one more thing, thank you for listening to the 412-411.
Mr. Speaker, one of the earlier speakers said, this is the most dramatic change in labor law in 80 years. And I say, thank God. In the late 70s, a CEO made 35 times the worker. Today, it's 300 to 400 times the worker. And our friends on the other side, running around with their hair on fire. Heaven forbid we pass something that's going to help the damn workers in the United States of America. Heaven forbid we tilt the balance that has been going in the wrong direction for 50 years. We talk about pensions, you complain. We talk about the minimum wage increase, you complain. We talk about giving them the right to organize, you complain. But if we were passing a tax cut here, you'd be all getting in line to vote yes for it. Now stop talking about Dr. Seuss and start working with us on behalf of the American workers.